We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, The Cure for Immorality, from the series Stronger. He'll examine the necessity of celibacy for singles and sexual fulfillment for married couples. Now, here's today's program.
Now, we have a lot of verses in the Bible about loving one another and praying for one another and admonishing one another. This is also one of the one another's in the Bible too. And here's what Paul says, stop depriving one another. Stop depriving one another. It means never use sex as leverage or a weapon. It means always be engaged sexually within your marriage, except, he says, by agreement for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again so Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this by way of concession and not as a command. Now, what does this mean? It means in a marriage, your sexuality is a top priority. This is not a time to elbow your spouse. I'm just telling you from the word of God what this says, right? It's a top priority, okay? Let me tell you three things sexuality can never be, okay? Three things sexuality in a marriage can never be. It can never be conditional. Never can be conditional. Well, you didn't take out the trash today, so you can forget about that. Hey, you spent too money over there. You can forget about that. No, it's never conditional. It's not based upon how you perform and what you do, and then you get to. No, it's never conditional. Stop depriving one another. That's what he says. Okay? It's never this. Number two, it's never burdensome. Never burdensome. Well, I'll do it because the word of God says, but I'm not going to enjoy any part of this. It's never like that, right? It's never a have to. It's never a burden. It's never, that's not what God says. It's not why he intended it. It's to be delighted in. It's to be honoring. And how you treat your spouse sexually is a reflection of how you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the person in your life that you're covenanted to, that you're treating in a way that honors Jesus. So it can never be conditional and it can never be burdensome. How about this one? It can never be your final thought. It can never be your final thought. When it's a priority, it means it's not your final thought. It doesn't mean that the kids are in bed and the day's been long and now it's like, oh, I have to? That's a final thought. I mean, it should never be a final thought. It should be first thought. I should be thinking about my spouse. If I'm a wife, I should be thinking about my husband. If I'm a husband, I should be thinking about my wife and how do I honor you and how do I please you in such a way, because our sexuality is such a huge component to our marriage and I want it to be a priority in our lives, okay? And just a word on this, just being a pastor. I mean, every time I've heard a story about a sexual affair, okay? And I hear details of that story, it always rolls something like this, that the person that was engaged in the affair, they took incredible amounts of time, incredible amounts of planning. They got dressed up in a certain kind of way. They drove a distance to get to a certain place to engage for a long period of time, only to have to drive back and do all these things. I mean, hours of planning went into this thing to have the affair. You should spend hours planning your sexuality within your marriage. It means this, married people, you should be able to talk freely and openly about, hey, this would be fun for me and this would be enjoyable for me. Hey, what would be enjoyable for you? And how would you enjoy that? And what would be fun? And what are ways we can engage in this? And how could we make this fun? And how could we spice this up? That's what married people, Christian married people, are supposed to do. And so I'll just tell you this as your pastor, because there's probably like less than 1% of you, but you need to hear this, okay? Some of you, I'll talk to the ladies for a second. I mean, some of you ladies, the way you dress for the world, I mean, you'll spend an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours dressing up in hopes that the world will notice you. It's a waste of your time. Okay, and especially when you come to church, because there's no guy here that wants to see your cleavage or your backside or a tattoo in a weird place. They just don't. dress modestly for the world. But did you know it's okay in your marriage to dress provocatively for your spouse if that would be something that you're both comfortable with and pleasing? Dress for them in that way. Have your husband want to notice you. Have your wife want to notice you, right? That's okay, right? It's never a final thought. There's a lot of thought and planning that should go into this. So I'll just say it like this. Paul would say, if you're married and you're not satisfying your partner sexually, that would be sinful. That'd be sinful. If you want to affair-proof your marriage, this is a great way to affair-proof your marriage. Now, here's the question I'm going to get as your pastor. I know I'm going to get this question, so I'll just answer it for you. Well, how much should we be having sex? Like, how much is enough? Okay? Here's what you do. You talk about it with each other until you're both satisfied. Well, that doesn't work because, like, my spouse, like, wants, like, twice a day, and I'm cool with, like, once a year. So here's what you do. You just average it out, and you just have sex once a day, right? And that way, everybody's kind of happy. You're meeting in the middle, right? I mean, the point is this. There should never be either spouse that feels unsatisfied. And women, let me be crystal clear on this. If your husband has an affair, it's not your fault. It's always the person's fault who's engaging. But let me tell you something else. Don't put him in a position of temptation. As a Christian wife, like, you should want to fulfill his needs so much that he doesn't have the energy or the wherewithal to even look around. I mean, Christians in their marriage should be so intoxicated with one another's love that they don't even have the energy to go out and look for something else, right? That pleases the Lord, by the way. And it shouldn't cause us to blush because God said, because of immorality, that's why I created it. And it's really, 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 really good. Right? And there's a binding that takes place and a love that takes place and a respect that takes place and a cherishing that takes place. And it's something that we can mature in over time. And this is what God has for our lives. Right? So I just tell you this, and I get this, man, because I was a kid once too. And I remember when I was in sixth grade, my parents sat us down and my mom was a labor and delivery nurse and they had a picture of all these sonograms. We always had pictures of sonograms on the fridge. And it was back in the day, you couldn't even see anything except like a blob. Now you can like see the whole kid's head. But I remember my mom, we were sitting, we had our first like ever family meeting. And we were close as a family, not as formal meetings. And we're sitting down and my mom says, this sonogram here is gonna be either your new baby brother or sister. I was in sixth grade. My sister was in fourth. My sister started crying. She's like, yes. I didn't know a whole lot about sexuality other than, I know how this happened. And I'm in junior high and I'm totally embarrassed that my parents are still having sex. Fast forward 5 years. We had our second ever family meeting. We're sitting on the back porch and now my five-year-old sister is sitting on my lap. And I look at my dad and I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, well, yeah. And I was okay with it at that time. But it seemed weird to me growing up that my parents would be engaging sexually. And if you're a kid, I know it feels that way. But let me tell you something. You want that for your parents because it's a way that's going to keep your family together. That's a great place for an amen. Amen. It's the way God designed it. And it's really, really good. And in church, we don't talk that way. And in church, we don't encourage those things, but God does, and they're good. Now, if this is what God calls us to do, now, I wanna tell you this, for you guys that are single that wanna get married, you'll say, well, man, if I had that opportunity, I would never let anything get in the way of that. But I'm gonna tell you what gets in the way of that. Your job, I've watched this happen all the time. Job, your career advancement, sports, hobbies, leisure activities, travel, an argument, a way of disciplining your kids differently, a way of seeing the future differently, a way of handling money differently. And all of a sudden you start going different directions and all of a sudden you're sleeping on opposite sides of the bed and all of a sudden you have different bedrooms and all of a sudden things just aren't what they... Don't ever let anything get in the way of your intimacy with one another. And I got great news for you. If something has, God is a redemptive God and God can heal what's been broken.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, The Cure for Immorality, from the series Stronger, examining the necessity of celibacy for singles and sexual fulfillment for married couples. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, We want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Again, that's BravePastorJeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
Quick word, because I think I need to share this. For you men that married a woman who's been abused, or a woman that's married a man that's been abused, let me tell you something. To show the love of Christ, you're going to have to be a lot more patient and tender. Because sometimes, guys, I mean, when we grow up, we dream of all these fantasy things that our marriage is going to be like and our wedding night's going to be like, and we expect somebody to do something for us. We expect our wives to perform in a certain way for us. And I want to tell you something. If you've had a wife who's been wounded by another guy or a coach or a dad or a parent or something like that, it's just going to take a little more time and massaging and love and care and, hey, I understand, but I'm here for you and you can trust me because I'm what a real man should look like and I am a real man. And so here... it just takes longer. And don't get frustrated with that. God gave you to your spouse to love her in such a way that she gets built up. And women, God gave you to your husbands to work with them to build them up. I mean, I've been married now for almost 13 years. I've known my wife for 15 years. And it's really interesting because you may meet me and you may say, well, man, Jeff's way rough around the edges and he's got all these challenges and issues. You should have met me 15 years ago. I'm awesome compared to what I used to be, right? Great place for an amen. And so that was only 7 years, bro. So, but the point is that God uses us to shape each other. And when we enter marriage and we think marriage is only about happiness and it's my spouse's job to make me happy, you can get disappointed in a hurry. But if your spouse's job is God's gift to you to make you holy, then even the uncomfortable things in your life, or I didn't know that this was gonna be, and I didn't know she was like that, and I didn't know he was like this, or I would have thought about it different before I got married. That's why you're married, because now in that container, you get to show the love of Christ to another human being that's not as perfect as you thought they were. Right? That's marriage. And that's where sexual intimacy becomes a huge part of them. Now, if that's true, then Paul ends by saying this. Oh, by the way, we didn't even talk about this. So some of you are asking, so you said there was a concession here that there was a time we shouldn't be engaged in sex. There's three concessions. All three of these things need to be met. They come right out of the word. You want to know what they are? Three of you? Okay, great. One is it's mutual. It means you both agree on it because it says except by agreement, which means both parties are saying, let's abstain for a while. Not the wife, not the husband. Both the husband and the wife are agreeing. It's good that we're not having sex right now. And it's for a time. This means you've set the boundaries of the time. It's not like, let's just try this for a while. It means, hey, this week, here's what we're setting aside, or this month, here's what we're setting aside. We've agreed on it for the purpose that we can devote ourselves to prayer. That's why. Mutual agreement for a period of time to devote yourself to prayer. You say, well, what would be some of the opportunities that would happen? There could be health issues. You know, there could be a time that your spouse is sick, right? You're just like, hey, let's just agree right now that we got to pray for your healing and we got to pray for your health. And until you get better, this is what we're going to do. Some of you remember 4 years ago, I did a 40-day fast going into Easter. And I knew, because what fuels our sexuality is our food, it's our appetite. So if you don't eat, you don't have energy, right? So I had to talk to my wife. I'm like, hey, this is what I sense God's calling me to do. Are you cool if we pray together and for one another? Because there may come a time during this 40 days that this isn't gonna be part of our marriage. Do we agree on this? But afterwards, a promise, we'll come together. I mean, there can be times that we choose to do that, but it's mutually agreed upon for a set period of time for the purpose of seeking the Lord in prayer. And then he says, but then come back together so Satan doesn't tempt you. In other words, you can't keep doing this for a long time. When I meet people and they'll tell me this, and I used to be naive enough to believe them, and I don't believe you at all anymore. If you tell me, well, you know, I just travel a lot. I see my wife like twice a month. Here's what I know. You don't have a good marriage. No, you don't understand us, Pastor. I mean, this is just the way we are. This is just the way we operate. This is the way, no. You do not have a good marriage blowing in and blowing out. It just doesn't work. You've got to be frequently together. That's the only way this thing works. I know that. And sure enough, 3, 4, 5 years later, they're divorced. But I already knew that 5 years earlier, it wasn't healthy, right? Because God's designed for you, if you're in covenant marriage, that your marriage partner is more important than your, get this, your job. It's more important than your kids. It's more important than your kids' future. It's more important than your bank account. Do you see what I'm saying? And let me just say this, like, how do you keep the sizzle in your marriage? I have a really good friend that's helped me a lot with this, who says, you know, date your wife or get into counseling. And so we would spend time talking about what's that mean? And Kim and I would have this discussion, because have you ever had this as a married couple? You go out on a date and all you end up doing is talking about who's spending what money and the kids and how busy you are and how boring. I mean, and you're halfway through the meal and you're just like, let's just go home. You ever had that? And so he said, hey, if you go out on a date with your wife, Jeff, you can't talk about money, you can't talk about the church, and you can't talk about your kids. You have to talk about what you talked about when you were dating. And it's changed our marriage, right? Like, my wife told me years ago, you can't bring a phone on your date. I tell her now, you can't bring your phone on a date. And but if you go, I mean, remember when you dated? You didn't sit around and talk about, well, how much money do you want to set aside for that? And why did you spend that? And how, you didn't date like that. You dated because you loved each other. So if you're gonna be married and you're gonna keep the spice in your marriage, you gotta date, which means when you go out, what do? You do what you did when you were dating. Yeah, you love each other. You talk about, hey, what are you enjoying? What are you doing? And how's life going? And what are you having fun? Where should we take our next vacation? And all that stuff. And pretty soon it's like, this was a great night. This was awesome. Why? Because you're dating again. And guys, just a word for you, date your wife. Don't like, well, if she wanted to go out, I'm sure she'd put it on my calendar. That's probably not what she's looking for, right? You pursued her to marry her. You tricked her into believing you were somebody you're not. Right? Do it again. Right? Okay, enough on that. All right, so here's the point. The fourth point, Paul kind of wraps all this up, and I love this. And this is the fourth point. It's a cure for sexuality. View your present life circumstance, whether single or married, as a gift from God. View your present life circumstance as single or married as a gift from God. Paul says this, yet I wish all men were even as I myself am. Paul at this time that he's writing is single. I wish all men could be single. Why? Because when you're single, and you'll see in a couple of weeks, when you're single, you can give wholehearted devotion to Jesus in a way that you can't when you're married. Yeah. When you don't have a spouse, you don't have kids, you don't have other responsibilities, there's a way to give wholehearted devotion to Jesus as a single that's really, really good. And Paul's saying, I wish that all people could be like me. But however, each has his own gift. His own gift. Marriage, if you're married, it's a gift. If you're single, it's a gift. One in this manner and the other in that. Let me just tell you how important this is. Because Christians, we don't get this. Singles, tell me if I'm telling the truth or not. I was single for a long time. I got married at 34. I met my wife at 32. Listen, I hated singles ministry when in my 20s. Hated it. Because you walk in the door and it's almost like this look like, oh, I feel sorry for you too. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm like, I'm not really looking. I just haven't found somebody that can keep up with me yet. I haven't found somebody that can go the way I'm going. I'm in seminary. I'm getting a graduate degree. I'm leading a whole youth ministry. I'm going God's way. And unless I find somebody that can run at my speed, I don't want to waste my time and get dragged down. There's nothing wrong with me being single. And oh, by the way, Paul was single. Jesus was single. And I think we could affirm that they were fairly gifted and were used of the Lord. Which means this, married people, just because you get around a single person, don't try to set them up with everybody you know. Thank you. Right? Because they don't want that. If they want it, they'd ask you. And some of the people you set them up with, you wouldn't even want to go out with if you were single. Right? And we do the same thing to married couples. Married couples will tell us about their challenges, and what do we say? Man, if I were you, I'd leave. I'd be single. Whatever lot you're in is God's gift for you. If you're single, it's an awesome time to focus on three things. Focus on the mission. What's the mission? To go into all the world and make disciples. Make Jesus Christ your primary mission as a single. Then figure out your ministry, which is how in the kingdom am I uniquely wired to do it? Am I a businessman, a teacher? Am I a coach? Am I gonna help kids after school? I mean, what is my unique way of serving Christ? Then if you're going full speed ahead and God brings you somebody, you'll know if they're going the same direction as you. It's much easier to figure that out as a single. And oh, by the way, when I'm talking to singles, I'm not just talking to that under 28-year-old group. I'm talking, I know we have singles in their 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. And oh, by the way, marrieds, there's no guarantee you're gonna be married next week. Did you not know that God may have a plan for your spouse to call them home before you're ready? And I can tell you this, if I outlive my wife, I'm never gonna be ready. I totally hope I go before she does, right? So there's never gonna come a time in my life where I'm like, I'm ready now. Never. But if my whole goal is about me and how I'm getting pleased and not about serving the Lord, it's gonna be even harder, right? You're gifted. If you're single, you're gifted. You're not second class. You're not, well, when I get married, then I can serve in the church. Serve now. We need you. Jesus needs you. If you're married, serve now. Jesus needs you. And if you're married, don't say, well, as soon as my kids are grown and we're out of the house. No, Jesus needs you as marrieds now too. Because our singles need to see what it looks like in married couples that genuinely love one another so that they'll have a desire to be married, right? Proverbs 16:9 says this, a man plans his ways, but the Lord determines his steps. Psalm 115:3 says, but our God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. Because I know I'm talking to some of you now that are single, like, yeah, I've heard all this before, but where is my spouse? Where is my spouse? Here's what I say, just keep pushing and pursuing the Lord. If God's plan for you is marriage, it will happen. If God's plan for you is not marriage, it won't happen. And if your whole life is hung up on whether you're married or not, you're missing out on the greater work that Jesus Christ put you on this world to do. While you're single, let me tell you something else too. Be the best that you can be. In other words, I see a lot of people that are like, okay, like when I meet my spouse, then I'm gonna stop sleeping around, I'm gonna stop drinking, I'm gonna stop going to those parties, I'm gonna be the person God wanted me to be. Some of you guys, you know, hey, when I meet my spouse, then I'll start going to the gym and I'll be all chiseled up and stuff like that. And then I'll be, you know, I mean, let me just be the best you that you can be. Guys, don't look at magazines and think like, oh, I gotta look like that guy, I gotta be all chiseled and totally look like a stud. I mean, not everybody can look like me. I get that, okay? And women, in the same way, quit looking at magazines too and comparing, saying, well, I'll never look like her and I'll never act like that and I'll never be airbrushed. Like, you don't need to be somebody else. Just be the best you can be. I mean, it's okay for you to wear makeup. It's okay for you to dress appropriately. It's okay for you to work out. Take care of yourself, because here's what Christian men and Christian single men and Christian single women should be attracted to, is meeting somebody that's going after the Lord with everything they have. So it's not about finding the right person. It's about what? It's about being the right person. If you'll be who God wants you to be, even if you're single, you can be satisfied. And if God has a spouse, you'll find yourself moving in a direction. It'll be very similar to me. Like you're looking over like, well, there's Kim and there's Kim. And man, she is hot and I know her and she's got great character and I love her family and she's going the same way I am. Like, let's just put this thing together and let's go do it together. Right? That's what God has. But I'm telling you, whatever circumstance you're in, it's a good circumstance. Singles, I apologize to you if in any way, ever in the church, you felt like you were less than, because I want to tell you something, Jesus doesn't think that about you. Right. And marrieds, you're not better than. They're both really, really good. And we're called to encourage one another. And whatever scene of life you're in, because I know that I'm talking to some of you who are married or say, man, if I was single, I wish I could be single again. No, this is your lot in life. We tend to look and think the grass is always greener. Here's what Jesus says. No, just tend to your own garden. Tend to your own garden. I mean, Paul said in Philippians 4:11, he had learned the secret of being content in whatever circumstance he was in. Because in 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said that God's grace was sufficient for him and was perfected in his weakness. And in 1 Timothy 6:6, he said, godliness with contentment was great gain. Be content in your circumstance. I mean, if you're married, that spouse is your gift. Well, not the gift I would have wanted, but it's your gift. It's the gift God gave you for what he wants you to be. And if you'll receive that as a gift and you'll love that as a gift God gave you and you'll cherish and nurture the gift God gave you, not only will God bless your gift, God will bless you. And if you're single in this season and you'll pour into your singleness for the glory of God, God will give you your blessing too.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Cure for Immorality, from the series Stronger, examining the necessity of celibacy for singles and sexual fulfillment for married couples. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to BravePastorJeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit BraveChurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.